What we do is we pick a book of the Bible and we go through it verse by verse, however long it takes. And we started 2 Corinthians just a few weeks ago. And so we're still in chapter 1. Today's passage is going to be a bit longer than usual. We usually do like 4 or 5 verses. Today it's going to be 15 verses. But I think it's better to take the section as a whole rather than chop it up. And one of the reasons I enjoy going through books of the Bible is because you meet passages that, well, let me just say, I highly doubt that I would choose this. If I was just choosing passages every Sunday, I don't know if I would ever choose this passage to preach on it. I don't know. But I have to do it now because it's part of our text. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to start reading in verse 12, and we're going to read all the way to the end of the chapter and the first two verses of chapter 2, straight into chapter 2. So, the Apostle Paul writes, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting verse 12, "For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and more abundantly toward you. For we are not writing any other things to you than what you read or understand. Now I trust you will understand, even to the end, as also you have understood us in part, that we are your boast, as you also are ours, in the day of the Lord Jesus. And in this confidence I intended to come to you before, that you might have a second benefit, to pass by way of you to Macedonia, to come again from Macedonia to you, and be helped by you on my way to Judea. Therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? Or the things I planned, do I plan according to the flesh, that with me there should be yes, yes, and no, no? But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Moreover, I call God as witness against my soul, that to spare you I came no more to Corinth. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but are fellow workers for your joy, for by faith you stand. But I determined this within myself, that I would not come again to you in sorrow. For if I make you sorrowful, then who is he who makes me glad, but the one who is made sorrowful by me?" Now, I read that and I was like, I have no idea what's going on here. But once you look into the history a bit and examine this a bit closer, the passage is actually not that difficult. It's actually not that difficult. So let me just give you the background, and then everything will just fall into place. Paul, as we know, on his second missionary journey, started the church in Corinth, together with Silvanus, as he calls him here, Silas, he's called in Acts, together with Silas and Timothy, started the church in Corinth. All right. Now, after they left, there's all kinds of troubles in the church in Corinth. And Paul, who at this point, well, not at this point, but around that time, had gone to Ephesus and spent 3 years in Ephesus, he's trying to deal with all the problems in Corinth from a distance. He is sending letters. He is sending messengers. He is sending Titus and Timothy, and he's sending one letter after the other. It's not just the two letters that we have here. He sent a number of letters to them, trying to fix these problems. But the problems were not going away, and the people were just getting more annoyed with him. So much so that Paul and the church in Corinth are starting to, their relationship is starting to be torn apart. After he sent 1 Corinthians to them, which we also studied, the situation got only worse. And so Paul was forced to do a quick visit there to try and put things together. And things got even worse. Apparently, he got into fights with people. I don't know if people rejected him, they opposed him, and he went back to Ephesus, and he's like, this is just one big mess. This is one big mess. Now, coming to our passage now. Somewhere around that time, Paul told the Corinthians, because he's in Ephesus now, he told the Corinthians, I'm going to come visit you twice. And he gave him certain travel plans. Now, these were his travel plans, okay, which he mentions in our passage today. His plan was this: to come from Ephesus, cross the Aegean, go see them in Corinth for a time. Then he was going to go up to Macedonia, visit the churches up there, maybe do more evangelistic preaching, and then come back down to Corinth again, a second time. He was planning on visiting them twice. Okay? I guess they had so many problems, he thought that they needed more time. He needed more time with them to help them with all their problems. But, and here is the whole point of today's passage. If we get this, then we'll understand everything that's being said here. But Paul changed his plans. Okay? He was planning on visiting them twice. Corinth once, go up to Macedonia, back to Corinth second time. He was planning on visiting them twice, but he changed his plans. Instead of doing that, after he went back to Ephesus, he thought, you know what? The relationship is in such a bad place right now that it's not a good idea to go. It's not an idea to go to Corinth again soon. So instead, he sent them a letter, which we don't have. It's not here. We don't have that letter, which was a rather severe letter, as he calls it. All right, where he kind of yelled at them again. And so he decided to go a different route, to go up to Macedonia first, and then he would visit them. Just one go. Okay? And he's writing to them from Macedonia now. He hasn't visited them yet. So what does this do? All the people in Corinth who didn't like him up until that point, who were opposing him, who were fighting against him, as soon as they hear that he changed his plans, they say, aha, we told you about that guy Paul. You can't trust him. He says one thing and he does another. He said he was going to come and he didn't come. What did we tell you? He's one of those people who says yes, yes, but he actually means no, no, no. He's one of those people that says I'll be there and then he doesn't show up. He's one of those people that make promises. Well, I don't know if he promised, but he's one of those people who say I'm going to do this and then he doesn't do it. You can't trust Paul. And so in today's passage, Paul is going to defend himself and say that he's not a liar. He is trustworthy, and there's a reason that he changed his plans. Look, there are a lot of people. How many times you meet people who say, I will be there, and they're not there? How many times people who tell you they're going to do something and they don't do it? We know so many people who say yes, but they actually mean no. I know a lot of those people. There are people you just can't count on. There are people you can't depend on, you can't trust them because they say one thing and they do another. And that is not what Christians should be like. Okay? We are to be a trustworthy people, a truthful people. When we say something, we should mean it. Why? Because our God is truth. Our God is truth, and therefore, if we are to be the people of God, we are to be people of truth. When we say something, we mean it. Okay? Paul now is being accused of being untrustworthy, untruthful. He said he was going to come and he didn't come. He just changes his plans because he feels like it. Can't trust Paul. And this is a major problem. Because if you're going to say you can't trust Paul, if you're going to say we can't trust what Paul says, Paul wrote half the New Testament. All right? So if you're going to say we can't trust Paul, you can't trust him when he says something, how can you trust him with the message that he's going to bring? Who knows what he's saying? Maybe he just says what he feels like at the moment. So Paul feels that he needs to defend his integrity, his trustworthiness, and he's going to explain to them in this passage why he changed his plans and that he's not a liar. Okay? So, having that in mind, now this is going to make sense. Verse 12. He says, for our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly toward you. Paul mentions boasting here. Paul does that a lot. He mentions boasting. People get uncomfortable with that. Let me just quickly say, sometimes when Paul talks about boasting, it can be in a negative way or it can be in a positive way. It's negative. Boasting is bad when you're boasting in something that you did, in your own ability, your own strength. Like, look at me, look how amazing I am. Okay? That's bad. But Paul often boasts in God and in what God does. Look how great God is. Look what God has done. Or even look what God has done through me. If I did this, praise God that I was able to do this by the grace of God. Okay? And here, he boasts, his boast is that by the grace of God, he says that, but by the grace of God, he basically says to them, my conscience is clear. My conscience is clear. What is our conscience? Our conscience is, how does Paul say it? And I think in Romans, he says, conscience is that thing inside of us that either condemns us or justifies us. Okay? When you're ready to do something, or when you do something and you're either like, this is fine, it's okay, I can do this, it's not a problem. Your conscience is telling you it's okay. Or if you're ready to do something, you're like, oh, that's a bad idea, I can't do that. That's because your conscience is telling you that you shouldn't do that, okay? Well, Paul says, Paul has been being accused of not being truthful, not being trustworthy, and he says, my conscience is clear. By the grace of God, I conducted myself in simplicity and godly sincerity. I've been sincere. I have not been lying to you. Okay? I'm not a liar. I'm sincere. Where he says simplicity, it just means there's nothing complex here. What you see is what you get. What I was upfront with you. I was clear. I said things the way they are. I wasn't trying to hide anything. Verse 13, he says, for we are not writing any other, we're not writing any other things to you than what you read, what you read or understand. Okay? When I spoke to you, when I wrote to you, I'm not saying, there's no hidden meanings, there's no innuendos. I just said it the way that it is. Okay? You understand what I'm writing. Do you ever have, you ever meet a person that you ask a question and they just kind of go around in circles and they talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and they never answer the question? Paul says, I didn't do that. You ask me a question, I tell you. When I write something, I mean it. I'm not trying to hide anything. People do this all the time. They either don't answer the question, they just kind of go around what you're talking about, or something that people do, and they do this in theology a lot. Let me just point this out. Something that people do is they'll use words where it sounds like what they're saying is correct, but if you think about it, not really. For example, meet a couple of Mormons walking along the street. I love how it says Elder James, whatever, and they're like 17 years old, but they're elders. But it's okay. So if you say to them, you believe in Jesus? Oh, yeah, absolutely. We believe in Jesus. Great. You believe in the Bible? Oh, yeah, absolutely. We believe in the Bible. Great. It sounds great, right? Until you start digging a bit, and you find out, oh, wait, when they say they believe in Jesus, oh, Jesus is just one of many gods, because they're polytheists. Or, oh, the Bible is just one of many inspired books, because they have a bunch of other books, the Book of Mormon and all those things. And you're like, oh, wait a minute, this isn't what I believe at all. Not even close. Okay? So a lot of people say one thing, but that's not exactly what they mean. They kind of go around. There's different ways of doing it. Paul says, I was not like that. When I said it, I meant it, and that was it. Okay? I want to be clear when I speak. Verse 13, towards the end, he says, now I trust you will understand, even to the end, as also you have understood us in part, that we are your boast as you also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. He says, you may not have understood us fully, but on the day of the Lord Jesus, he jumps forward, the day when Christ comes, everything will be open. You'll see things the way they are. And we will, hopefully you will be our boast and we will be your boast. Meaning, you know what? On that day, we're going to rejoice for what God has done in you. You're going to rejoice for what we did with you. That's our hope. Okay, so having put that aside, now he's going to address the specific problem. Verse 15. And in this confidence, I intended to come to you before. that you might have a second benefit. To pass by way of you to Macedonia, to come again from Macedonia to you, and be helped by you on my way to Judea. So, he says, that was my plan, to come through you from Corinth to go up to Macedonia, and then from Macedonia to come back down to you from Corinth, okay? That was the plan. The plan was to come to you twice. Why? He says, because that you might have a second benefit. Some translations say, I wanted you to have a second blessing. I wanted to bless you twice. If you had the option of listening to the Apostle Paul preach once or twice, what would you pick? He wanted to come and bless them twice, but he didn't come. So, some people are saying, okay, you can't trust Paul. So, verse 17. Therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? Or the things I plan, do I plan according to the flesh? That with me there should be yes, yes, and no, no. He says, do you think I make plans lightly? I changed my plans. He did change his plans. Everyone knows he changed his plans. And he says, do you think I make plans lightly? I remember at the end of 1 Corinthians when we finished 1 Corinthians not too long ago. And Paul was giving some of his plans. And man, all the things that he had to do and all the plans that he had to make. He's like, how long he's going to stay, when he's going to go, how long he's going to go, why he's going to go at that time, who he's going to send, when he's going to send them, why he's going to send this person and not that person. Just all the plans that he made for his entire life, what he was doing. And every time he made plans, it was always with one thing in mind. What will benefit the kingdom of God the most? That's how he made plans. We don't do that enough. We make plans based upon financial situation, what's going to make me happy, what's going to make people around me happy, what's more comfortable for me. When Paul is making plans for what is best for the people of God, what is best to further the kingdom of God, that's his concern when he makes plans. Okay? And so he's like, you really think that I make plans lightly? Do you think that I make plans according to the flesh, he says? Like unbelievers? You think I make plans like, oh, I don't feel like going now. I'll just do something else. You think that's how I make plans? For no reason, just because I felt like it? You think I just say yes, yes, and no, no at the same time? I said yes, but I meant no. You really think that's what I do? Verse 18. He says, but as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. Okay? When he starts off and he says, as God is faithful, some people wonder if that's an oath that he's saying, by the faithfulness of God, our word to you was not yes and no. I don't think that's what he's saying. I don't think he's making an oath here. I think he is saying, as God is faithful, like God is faithful, so our word to you is not yes and no. We're also faithful. In other words, just as God is trustworthy, we're also trustworthy. Okay? God doesn't say yes and mean no. We don't say yes and mean no. Verse 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who's preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. In Titus chapter 1, Paul says, God cannot lie. Did you know that God can't do everything? We usually think about God and say, God can do anything. God can't do anything. God cannot lie. It's against his nature. And Paul says, we preach Jesus Christ, and he's the truth. When he says yes, he doesn't mean no. He doesn't say yes and no at the same time. When he says yes, he means it. All of God's promises are true. When God says something, that's it. From the beginning of time, everything that God said he was going to do, he did. Adam and Eve sin right from the beginning. And he says, I'm going to send the seed of the woman who's going to come and crush the serpent's head. Did he do that? Yes. Says to Abraham, who couldn't have children, you're going to have a ton of children. And through your seed, one seed, through your seed, all nations of the world are going to be blessed. Did he do that? Yes. He says to David, you're going to have a son who's going to be a king forever. Did he do that? Yes. He says to Isaiah, the servant of the Lord is going to come, and he's going to die for the sins of his people. Did God do that? Yes. When God says that he's going to do something, he does it. All of his promises are true. And all of his promises are, amen, he says here. What does amen mean? Everyone says it. Everyone says amen, but a lot of people don't know what it means. Amen, the Hebrew word, the root of it, comes from the word truth. So when someone prays and you say amen at the end, you're saying truth. That's true. I'm agreeing with you. Yes, that's what you're saying. You know, when Jesus, sometimes you read, when Jesus is about to make a really powerful statement, he'll say, truly, truly, I say unto you. If you look at it in the Greek, it actually says, amen, amen, leo in me. Okay? Amen, amen. Truth, truth, I'm saying to you. Okay? If you hear someone praying and you don't agree with what he's saying, don't say amen at the end. Okay? Amen means I'm agreeing with you. What you're saying is true. And Paul is saying, when God says something, he doesn't just say yes and then switch it and say no. When he says something, he means it. His promises are yes and amen. Our God is a God of truth. And we are people of truth. When we say something, we mean it. Paul is saying, I was not insincere. I preach to you a God of truth, and I am being truthful to you. Verse 21. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Paul is reminding them, and anyone who is accusing him, that he has been anointed with the Holy Spirit. They know this. But I think the important phrase here is where he says, God has established us with you in Christ. Because it's not just, well, God has anointed me, and you know that I'm a genuine apostle. He's like, no, God has anointed me, and he's anointed you too. How were the Corinthians saved to begin with? Where did this church come from? Oh, yeah, they heard Paul's message and believed and were saved. Okay, so if you think that I'm not genuine, if you think that my message isn't true, how does your church exist to begin with? God has established us, all of us. Okay, us and you. Verse 23. Moreover, I call God as witness against my soul. Now, that is an oath right there. Okay, before I don't think it was an oath. Here it's an oath. I call God as witness against my soul. As God is my witness, if I'm lying, God is going to deal with me. What is it? What is this big statement? Moreover, I call God as witness against my soul that to spare you, I came no more to Corinth. I didn't come to spare you. It's for your sakes that I didn't come. What does that mean? Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul was upset with them for all kinds of stuff that they were doing. And I remember he made this statement. He said, what do you want? He said, when I come, do you want me to come in gentleness or do you want me to come with a rod? Because they're just terrible church. And he's like, do I need to come and start disciplining people? Do I need to come and start excommunicating people? Is that what I need to do? Well, we know from this letter that he did visit them and it was a bad visit. And then he wrote another letter to them, which was, that was kind of harsh also. And so at this point, instead of going, he said, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go this time. If I go now, it's just going to be another fight. If I go now, I'm going to start yelling at people. I'm going to make them more upset. I'm going to get more upset. I'm going to start handing out, laying down justice. And I'm like, I didn't come right now. And the reason I didn't come was not because, oh, I just decided to change my plans. I came because I wanted to spare you. Now, As soon as he says that, as soon as he says, I wanted to spare you, he realizes that he may come off as a tyrant who's domineering. And so in verse 24, he says, not that we have dominion over your faith, but O fellow workers, for your joy. For by faith you stand. He's like, look, I'm not your Lord. Okay? We only have one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Lords are the ones who tell you what to do. He's like, that's my job, and the job of the leaders in the church is to help lead the people into holiness and into joy, the joy of salvation, to let you know of the blessings that we have in Christ. And he says, for by faith you stand. He's like, it's your faith. I'm not going to live your life for you. I'm not going to believe for you. I'm not going to obey for you. It's your life. And I didn't want to come and start being like, you got to do this, you got to do that. She's like, I decided not to come and give you some time to think things over. Verse 1 of chapter 2, but I determined this within myself, that I would not come again to you in sorrow. For if I make you sorrowful, then who is he who makes me glad but the one who is made sorrowful by me? He says, I know the last time I came, it was bad. There was a fight. I was angry. You were angry. Now I'm sorrowful. You're sorrowful. It was one big mess. And I didn't want to come again like that. That's why I didn't come. I didn't want to go through all that again. He's like, I want to make you glad. And I want you to make me glad. And so this wasn't the right time to come. I didn't come with the hope that he didn't come with the hope that they would think things over, as we shall see, and that they would repent of all their sins, which they did in part. And so Paul says, that's why I didn't come. So I'm reading this passage, and I'm like, well, what's the lesson? Well, the lesson, we all make plans. We all make plans, and sometimes plans change. You know why plans change? Because we're not God. God doesn't need to change his plans. God wills it and does it, okay? God doesn't change his plans. But we are not sovereign. We do not rule the world. We cannot know what the future brings. In the book of James, James says, to all you who are saying, I'm going to go here, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. He says, you should say, Lord willing, I'll do all that. Because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And Paul did that all the time. If you read the end of, if you read whenever Paul makes travel plans, he'll say, I hope to do this. I hope to do that. If the Lord permits, I'll do this and I'll do that. All the time. Because he understands that I'm not sovereign and God might change my plans. And I understand. Things happen. Sometimes we change plans because there's nothing we can do about the situation. We're not able to fulfill what we said we were going to do. It's natural to change your plans, but make sure when you change plans, don't change plans like the world changed plans. Just because you didn't feel like it, just because it didn't work out for you. If you're going to change plans, do it for good reasons, for godly reasons. Don't be the person that people look at and say, you can't trust that person. Because they say one thing and they mean another. And especially if you're going to be going around telling people about Jesus, as we should, don't be the person that says, I'm going to tell you about him who is the truth, the way and the life. And then we find out, that guy, I've caught that guy lying to me. I've caught that guy saying one thing and then meaning another. Now I'm going to trust him about what he has to tell me about the truth? No. Everything God says is yes and amen, and his people should be the same. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray.